Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Things have slowed down considerably in the NBA, but there's still plenty to talk about. Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Mark Schanowski, joined by Kendall Gill, back from Las Vegas, and our good buddy Kevin Bulldog Anderson making our third today. And
I can't wait to hear his stories from Vegas.
We got to start with that. Yeah, you know, Manny Pacquiao defies time, turns back the clock, defeats Keith Thurman. Mm-hmm. That was impressive stuff. And you were on the call. Tell us about the experience.
I was lucky enough to be on the call with Ray Flores, Premier Boxing International Telecast. We telecast in 50 countries. And I was ringside to see one of the greatest ever do it. And I tell you, I was so impressed. I already knew Manny Pacquiao was great, of course. He and Floyd Mayweather are probably the best fighters of this generation. But I had no idea how fast he was and how hard he hit, how good he how well he moved his feet. He did everything. Everything was on display. And, you know, people think, well, Manny Pacquiao is 40 years old. There's no way he can compete with a 30-year-old champion in his prime that's undefeated. I tell you, he outclassed Keith Thurman for the first six rounds. And then in the seventh round, Keith Thurman, and I give Keith Thurman all the credit in the world, he was seriously hurt two times in that fight, but he continued to fight like a champion.
KG, you are a rising star in the boxing broadcast world.
Oh, he is. He is. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, I was telling Mark this, hopefully I can get up there to where Jim Lampley was, but still be able to do the Chicago Bulls telecast and everything.
He's going to be juggling his schedule. Calling basketball games.
No, I don't want to leave here, man. But on the weekends when they had a big super fight, you know, Will can fill in and everything.
So you have a really new appreciation for Pacquiao.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing him that close.
Seeing him that close is totally different. Much like when fans come to see NBA players for the first time in person, they don't know how fast and quick NBA players are until they see them on the floor. That's the same appreciation you get when you're ringside and when you see an all-time great.
How much research did you do going into this fight? Like, did you go back and like watch Pacquiao's last five fights? Like, how did you kind of prepare?
I watched Manny's last three fights. I watched Keith Thurman's last three fights. But, you know, Manny Pacquiao and Keith Thurman, that was just one fight that I called. I called seven fights. So I had to do research on each and there were 14 fighters. So, and one fighter fell out at the last minute, so I had to go back and do research on him. But
At least you didn't have to replace him in the ring.
Yeah, right. I didn't want to replace him. Those guys are too tough for me, man. But, you know, probably a week's worth of hitting it hard for about 4 or 5 hours a day, you know, watching all the fights, then going and doing your notes and everything. So,
you know, what's so funny is that Kendall is such a boxing aficionado. He likes to talk about boxing when we're, you know, doing pre and post. And he used to always argue with crew members about Pacquiao Mayweather.
Right.
And he always said, well, Pacquiao's a bum.
I just said Pacquiao. I knew he wasn't a bum, but Pacquiao couldn't beat Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
And to show you how great Floyd Mayweather was as a boxer, he's retired now, but he totally dominated Manny Pacquiao. And Manny Pacquiao goes into the ring and does the same thing to Keith Thurman. That's how special Floyd Mayweather is.
Did you get to enjoy Vegas at all? Or were you just locked in on the fights?
I was locked in on the fights. It was just like I was there for a game. You know, I actually stayed away from the strip at my brother's place. And then, you know, I did all my notes there, and I didn't come in until like the prelim started. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was totally focused.
And then you took a red eye and played the championship game in the 50 and over men's league.
Yeah.
And you posted a video breaking some poor guy's ankles. I felt bad for the guy.
Yeah. Well, he looked like Vincent Goodwill to me, Mark, when he was
guarding. He took that sideways stance, and I'm like, he's falling down.
And I triple threaded him. I was like, oh, this is Vincent Goodwill. I'm gonna break his ankle. So I did the rip through classic fundamental. fundamental move, and unfortunately for the guy, he fell down, and they caught it on tape.
So you actually tagged Vincent in your video. Vincent, of course, has to respond.
Yeah,
he's never going to let anything go.
Well, he's got the worst of it because people thought that was him.
Right.
The best part was that there were people who thought literally
they did. And Vincent was upset about that. I saw him retweet saying, "You actually do know that that's the 50 Nova League. That's not me, right?"
Was Vinny more upset that he thought it was him getting broken down or the people thought he was actually over 50?
I think that he was more upset about him being broken down.
Yeah.
You know, because then he retweeted it. "Oh, I see I'm still living rent-free in your head." And then I responded back, "Well, how can you live rent-free in my head when you're on the floor?" You know? But love it. Even though Vincent lives in New York now, we can still go on with this feud.
You're 50 and over league. What is actually the skill level like for most of these guys? Because I would think that a guy in your shape, former NBA player with your skill level, that these guys are like, "Oh God, Kendall's playing again."
Yeah, it's kind of unfair, but what they did since we won the championship in the Winter League, all of the best guys got together on the opposing teams and put a team together to beat us. So, but it still didn't work, you know. But the skill level is pretty high. All of those guys that are playing were major college basketball players.
Sure.
One teammate that I have, Jeff Sanders, is a former Chicago Bull. So you do have some pros that have played there.
Any of your former Illinois buddies going to be in the league?
I'm trying to get Steve Barrow to play, but as of yet, he still hasn't signed his contract. And he better hurry up because now I'm due for the Supermax for the 50 Nova League, which is about $500. So if he waits too long, it's not going to be any money left for him, Bulldog.
Well, speaking of retired players, I don't know if you guys saw the news on Monday. Carlos Boozer got cut by the Ghost Ballers in the Big Three.
Oh, wow.
And I know you went through some of the politics of the Big Three, and now that it's gotten even bigger, there's all these guys that are vying for spots. Mm-hmm. It had to, you know, Boozer's in good shape. He just recently retired. It's crazy how that league is functioning. I don't know what the TV ratings are or anything like that, but they're trying to market the product, and it seems like there's a lot of confusion with what's going on.
It seems like it. What they have to do, in my opinion, and I think that the league is a great concept, mm-hmm. what they have to do is they have to take the power out of the captain's hands. Those guys are not NBA execs. They are basketball players, and that's what they should be doing. They shouldn't be making any personnel decisions whatsoever. I can't imagine why Carlos Boozer should not be playing in the Big Three. I mean, this is a guy, like, as you just mentioned, just retired and is very capable. It wasn't like he was a bum in the NBA.
Yes,
the guy could play, and you can't tell me that he's not capable of playing in the Big Three. So I think that a lot of the guys, and you know, I like Ice Cube, I like Jeff Kwan, it's guys, the two founders of the league, but sometimes there's a lot of personal decisions made by the captains, putting your buddy on the team, or we don't need this guy. You know, that can't happen. I think that what they should do is try to adopt a GM from each team. Yeah, you can take input from the captains, but bottom line is you make the decisions.
And Joe Johnson's tearing the league up.
Yeah, he is. He's killing them. I mean, Joe just retired too, so, you know, that's to be totally expected.
Knocking down that four-point shot.
It's good for the league that you're seeing recently retired and former all-star caliber players play in this league.
Right.
I think that was the big concern initially.
Right.
But they should have a 50 and over division now with KG on.
You would dominate.
Yeah. Listen, if they put me out there now, man, I think I could do pretty well. So, you know, but, you know, I played the first season a couple games. I had my experience with them. And, you know, mm-hmm. now I'll just sit back and I'll do boxing over the summer.
Steven Jackson got his shot blocked by Brian Scalabrine. So he's going to have to live that one down.
Oh, wow. I can't believe it. You know, hey, listen, I got to get on Steven next time. I see him. You let Scalabrine block your shot.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of topics already on this edition of the Bulls Talk podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the Bulls and another news item on Monday. Thaddeus Young was added to the U.S. roster for the World Cup. That doesn't mean he's not necessarily going to compete. They will cut down to 12 for the actual tournament. But it's a nice opportunity for him to get to work with some high-level players and coaches and get himself ready for training camp.
Yeah, it's a nice opportunity, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
Here's the reason. Because of injuries, he has a reputation of being a guy that can play all 82 games.
Yeah.
If you do that, you put yourself in jeopardy because of a lot of the wear and tear on your body. If he was a young player, maybe, you know, 2-3 years in, then maybe I say, okay, it's all right for you to go and get the experience. But he doesn't need the experience. He doesn't, I mean, you're not competing for, it's not the Olympics. So, you know, nice invitation. I'd be honored if someone invited me, but I'd have to think long term and about the team.
They're having trouble retaining players.
Yeah, some big names have dropped out. James Harden, Bradley Beal. Yeah. I think like 7 guys have dropped out. Eric Gordon.
I'm a little shocked that we haven't seen Zach LaVine's name.
Yeah, I thought we might.
Mentioned. You know, like Thad Young, it's fantastic for Thad to do it. I'm sure it's going to be a way for him to stay in shape. But I'm just surprised that Zach LaVine's not getting the call.
Well, Young was on the original list of alternates back when he was still with the Indiana Pacers. So that they just called him up from the alternate group. And I think they haven't invited some new guys. I saw that Marcus Smart of the Celtics was invited to come to camp. But, you know, the way this whole thing has been structured, used to be called the World Championships, now it's the World Cup, and it comes in off years. Like Kendall mentioned, it's not the Olympics. And guys play so many games, they train year-round. I don't think the World Cup carries the same luster as being a member of the U.S. team for the Olympics because, you know, guys think about their marketing and commercials and all that. If you win an Olympic gold medal, that can lead to a lot of cash. Right. You win the World Cup, I don't think it means quite as much.
Well, the timing's interesting in terms of us talking about this. On July 23rd, Tuesday, is 1 year out from the Olympics in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's certainly what, when we have this conversation 6 months from now, 9 months from now, that roster is the one everybody's going to be really excited to see and see play.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I would love to see a Lauri Markkanen on that team.
He'd be on Finland.
If he'd be on Finland.
Yeah, I'm sorry, in Finland and Zach on, you know, Zach on participate in that. Yeah. You know,
and that's the reason why you're seeing all of the big names drop out, Bulldog, is because they know that this is not, you know, this is Subway instead of McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like,
wait. What, in that analogy, what's the better fare?
Well, I should
say
the Olympics is McDonald's All-American. The World Cup is Subway All-American.
That's like Kendall's old story.
Yeah,
he's a Harold's
Chicken
All-American. Not a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah, but actually going to Subway is better for your health-wise.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought you were making an analogy about
he's looking for an endorsement deal.
But you look at those guys, Harden and all of the bigger names, you know, they play a lot of games. Harden has played, he's gone deep into the playoffs 2 years in a row. Has put a lot of wear and tear on his body. Going to play USA basketball now is not to his advantage.
Well, like, what's Steph going to do next year?
I think Steph goes to the Olympics. I mean, that's a big stage. So I think Steph will be there.
Yeah, everyone's thinking about their brand and their marketing opportunities. So you might even see LeBron go one more time.
Right.
You know, so it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. Wendell Carter Jr. Made an appearance at Guaranteed Rate Field for the opener of the White Sox homestand. He was supposed to throw out the first pitch, but he said, I'm not going to do it because I'm still sore from the core muscle surgery. He was going to meet with reporters. We'll have some of that coming up later. But, you know, right now it's a slow process recovering from that type of surgery, and they want to make sure he's going to be ready for training camp.
Yeah, and going out and trying to rip a 90-mile-an-hour fastball is not the way to heal up because you have to use your core the way that you twist from throwing a baseball. So I think that's a smart thing to do. He just had surgery, and if he's still sore at this point, it kind of worries me a little bit. I mean, we're almost in August now.
Yeah, well, it's still quite a waste of training camp.
Yeah.
He should be okay. He had Benny the Bull stand in for him.
Okay.
I'm sure he did fine.
Right.
Even if he was 100% okay, I wouldn't want him throwing that pitch.
Yeah.
You know, just like throwing it, even if it's just a soft toss. He just had surgery a few weeks ago. Like, smart decision by Wendell.
Well, you saw how competitive Bears coach Matt Nagy was because he didn't have a good effort his first time out. So he threw a strike, and he chucked it in there pretty good. Like Kendall did when you threw the first
pitch. Oh, yeah, okay.
You were trying to get that radar gun up, right?
Yeah, you know, when I was warming up, I got clocked at like 103, but then I decided to dial it down a little bit, Mark.
Move over, Aroldis Chapman. Yeah. Here comes Kendall Gill with his George Plimpton stories.
Then I decided to dial it down. I finished up with about a 70-mile-an-hour fastball.
Your changeup.
Yeah, my changeup. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, most of the maneuvering is done now in the NBA offseason. There was one move over the weekend. Kyle Korver signs out with Milwaukee. Now, he's 38 years old, didn't have a great year last year. Do you think that Mike Budenholzer, who had him in Atlanta, can come up with some ways to use him, or maybe he can be a contributor come playoff time?
Yeah, well, they lose Mirotić. Mirotić goes overseas. They need another shooter. Kyle Korver was an all-star under Budenholzer. And if anybody knows how to use him, he does, mm-hmm. you know, and he practically plays the same system as they did in Atlanta. So I think that it's a perfect fit for Kyle Korver, actually, because of the way that Giannis can penetrate. And if he stays out on the perimeter, I mean, yeah, he's 38, but he's never been a guy that's that swift of foot. So,
yeah.
So he can just stand right there and accept the basketball and knock down threes.
He's not going to play 30 minutes tonight.
Right. Yeah.
But I think you're exactly right. I think the Budenholzer rule know how to use him. And in spot minutes and spot situations, like, Korver can still contribute. And he can certainly go out there out of a timeout, and you can run a play in which to free up Korver, and he's going to hit an open shot.
True.
And that's all you want. I mean, it just gives you more options as a coach. It's a smart move. We know Korver likes the Midwest. He loved his time here in Chicago.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to be very happy in Milwaukee as well.
And they also picked up Wesley Matthews, an NBA veteran who also specializes in the long-range shooting. So, you know, they look at their roster. They need shooters around Giannis, and I think they've constructed a team now. Even though they lost Malcolm Brogdon, they lost Nico, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Do you still see Milwaukee as the favorite in the East, or is there somebody else you like better?
I actually see them as a favorite in the East now. One, because Kawhi Leonard decided to go to L.A., and two, because Ben Simmons can't shoot a jump shot outside of 15 feet, maybe not even that close, and he's really reluctant to shoot the basketball. If Ben Simmons puts in the work this summer and improves, that I may change my mind, but as of right now, I still think you have to go with the Milwaukee Bucks and the MVP. Plus, their other all-star, Chris Middleton, is coming off of a great year. You know, I don't know how you don't put him up as a favorite.
I like Philly. I do.
You like a guy at 6'10" who can't shoot?
Listen. We know there's issues with Simmons and his offensive skill set with the jumper. And we know
he doesn't even want to shoot.
Yeah, he doesn't
want to. It's like they show him in pregame warm-ups and he's out there shooting jumpers and stuff, but the form's messed up and it just doesn't seem like he wants to mentally make that adjustment that I can be so much better if I just get a reliable jump shot.
Him and Lonzo Ball are similar in that respect. They just don't have a perimeter shot.
Yeah,
Simmons doesn't want any part of it. But Ben is so elite at everything else.
Yeah.
And the players around him, that yes, if he is standing 23 feet out, a defender is going to completely dare him to shoot it. But they don't need him to do that. Philly doesn't need him to go out there and hit threes. They just need him to be a great playmaker, which he is, be a great defender, and to just do what he does best. I mean, like I'm okay. Like, you look at what has happened the offseason. Certainly the Sixers lost Jimmy. And you look at what happened with the Bucks and losing Nico and losing Brogdon is a pretty big loss.
It is.
I think right now I put the Sixers ahead of Milwaukee in terms of the handicapping of that race.
Even if your best player cries on the court when there's no crying in basketball, you're going to pick the Sixers?
That was in the hallway, not on the court. It was in the hallway afterwards.
No, it was on the court too.
It was in the hallway and on the court. But don't you want, like, he was invested, right? He was emotionally drained, reacting to the moment.
Yeah.
And clearly he cares. Like, I would want my star player to react that way over a star player going, I don't care, big deal.
No, I understand that, but you have to, you know, take some courses on when to cry. Maybe in the locker room.
Kendall's going to revoke his man card.
Yeah, maybe. I know it hurts, but you got to wait till you get to the locker room.
Here's why I like Philly's roster a little bit more right now. Tobias Harris bringing him back was a big deal.
Key. Yeah.
I think losing Jimmy and bringing Horford is a plus for them.
True.
And I think they're going to be a better team. I think Horford in there is going to free up basically Embiid to rest.
Yeah.
And to be 100% come the playoffs.
Right.
And I just like that roster right now.
Okay.
There are issues with Ben, but Milwaukee, when it comes down to crunch time, what did the Bucks struggle with? Like, who's getting a shot other than Giannis? And they're defending Giannis, daring anyone else to beat him.
Right.
Middleton's a very good player, but I don't think Middleton can carry them when Giannis is getting double teamed.
I can see your point, but there's also growth. A team that lost like Milwaukee did in the Eastern Conference Finals takes the next step every year. You know, that's why I believe that next year Giannis got a taste of being an MVP. Now he wants a taste of that championship. I think that, you know, with the acquisition of Korver, Middleton another year under his belt, that they still have the crew that can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and the championship.
I'm going to make a bold statement right now.
Okay.
If the Sixers had beaten Toronto, they'd be NBA champions right now.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because of the matchups.
Because of the injuries.
Yeah, the injuries.
Assuming
and the
that Golden State would have the same injuries
right.
in the series.
But if it was a fifth, we would all be drunk, my grandfather used to say.
So you got to be careful when he's talking about these bold statements.
Right, yeah.
Because he nailed our friend Ricky O'Donnell last week.
Oh, he did?
He pulled a quote out of context.
Not entirely.
No, it was completely out of context. You know, making it sound like he was down on poor Kobe White when he wasn't.
So what Ricky had said on the podcast, Ricky said that he felt like the Bulls' point guard rotation, that Archie Diacono will get more minutes and will be ahead of White in the rotation.
So he's got White being the third string point guard.
His reasoning is that the Bulls are going to try and make the postseason, which they will, that they're going to try and win actively, win every game, and that Boylan is going to trust Archie and give him more minutes than a rookie, which is a signed argument. I just pulled the quote of him saying that Archie was going to get more minutes
and Ricky's
White.
Getting all grief on social media. People are killing him. Like, how can you say our number 7 overall draft pick is going to play behind Archie? You
know? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen at all. You know, I think Archie's going to get minutes, but not ahead of Kobe White.
Yeah.
You know, not at this point. You don't draft the guy number 7 to let the backup guy.
Assuming both are healthy. We will see the end of the season. White will have more minutes played than Archie.
Yeah, he will. Most definitely. I mean, and the thing is, Kobe White, we saw glimpses of what he could do in the summer league. We didn't see everything he could do because he didn't have the players around him to show all of his skills. You know, the way that he could penetrate and dish those guys knocking down shots, that really didn't happen. You know, so when he gets with the real guys, and we see his, I think that we will see that he's a lot better than we saw in the Las Vegas Summer League.
Summer League's not a great barometer for this.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not at all.
They're not.
Yeah. Derrick Rose looked ordinary in Summer League.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while for guys to get indoctrinated into the system, get to know their teammates. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Jim Boylan and his staff this year in that, you know, from playing on various rosters, that sometimes if you have too many guys who are comparable, it's really hard to figure out how to divide minutes. And right now the Bulls have, you know, 4 guys at the center position. They got 3 or 4 point guards. They've got, you know, competition on the wing spots. It's going to be tough for Boylan to come up with a rotation that's going to keep everyone happy.
You're right, and that's when you have to move players. When you go into a season,
you mean like trade them?
Yeah, move players or let the guys know at the beginning of the season, you know, you're not going to be in a rotation.
Yeah.
But you want to go into the season too deep.
Yeah.
And that means you want to be have two players at every position that you know that you can go to and use. And then in the playoffs, then you actually cut that down as well. You normally only use maybe about 8 or 9 players.
So the Bulls signed Shaq Harrison back.
Now, they've got 5 point guards.
Yeah, he's a Boylan favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, he ended up playing, I think, the 3rd most minutes on the team last year because of all the injuries that they had. And he's a defensive menace. I mean, the guy
is
an elite defensive player. But where does he get playing time?
That's why I didn't understand the signing. But, you know, sometimes you have situations where you just can't let a guy go because you know how well he can help your team.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on teams like that where we've been have 4 or 5 guys at one position and then you sign a 5th guy. And we all understood why, because we knew that guy could play,
mm-hmm.
you know. And maybe that's one of these situations.
So there are 2 reasons, I think, why bringing Shaq back makes sense if you look at the roster. There are several of their 5 point guards who can play 2, who are the combo guards. Like Satoransky, I think, will get a decent amount of playing time at the 2 spot.
Yeah.
Their hope is that Kobe White, because of his size, can also play the 2. Mm-hmm. The issue is that for White to play the 2, he needs to be able to hit a perimeter shot.
Got to shoot the 3 to play the 2.
Yes, exactly right. And so Shaq, too, we'll see minutes at the 2.
The 2. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not – even though they have truly – 5 point guards in terms of what we see on the roster. A lot of those guys are interchangeable and will basically, when Zach sits, play that 2 spot. But number 2, to me, is regardless of that, I still think they're looking to actively move one of their point guards.
They have to be, yeah.
The guy that makes the most sense is Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
Now, is he on another team on opening night, or is that a February move?
Be careful what you say. You're going to see that on a quote board on social media.
But it makes sense. I mean, you truly, if you look at this roster right now, I don't think they are fully confident in Denzel Valentine just yet. I think they want to see how he's truly recovered. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we see Denzel in training camp, it's going to be a year and a half since he has played in a truly organized game.
That is true. And I actually thought we might see Denzel in the summer league just to see what he could do. But that didn't happen. Obviously, he's saving it for training camp. And, you know, before he got hurt, I really liked the way that he was coming along. Yeah, he's not the greatest athlete or anything like that, but I love the way that he was able to handle the basketball, make basketball plays, display his basketball IQ, and his three-point shot was
coming. Yeah, he shot 38% from threes, and this is a team that needs more three-point
shots. This is a team that needs it. So that's why, you know, I'm still in Denzel's corner. You know, I really want to see what he can do.
I mean, the roster, I believe, stands at 15 right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't it with
the
Cornette signing and Shaq?
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly this could be the team we see in mid-October.
Actually, it's at 16 right now.
With a two-way, yes.
No, 16 plus the one two-way. They've got 16 contracts on the books.
So somebody has to move.
Right. The speculation is it'd either be a Chris Dunn trade or they'd waive Antonio Blakeney, who has a small guaranteed contract for this upcoming season.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, so, you know, they are really bursting at the seams. You know, as I mentioned, they got four centers. You can classify, you could say, five point guards. You know, there's some overload at some positions, and we'll see how that sorts itself out.
You think they would be willing to stretch somebody?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of the options on the table, and we all know that would be Chris Felicio who's got $16 million left on that four-year contract.
At this point, there's no reason to, like, if this were July 1st and they were still trying to free up cap space and free agency, then I think you strongly considered it if you had needed the money for your one guy you felt like was going to make a difference.
Yeah.
But at this point, you'd just be hurting yourself long-term. And it seems
you're stretching that salary cap commitment.
Right. So basically, Felicio's got 2 years left on his deal, I think about $15 million total. You're allowed to stretch the contract in terms of the cap hit twice the number of years remaining plus one.
Mm.
So if they stretched him, they'd be paying him for the next 5 years not to play. I just don't see that happening. And it seems like they are all in on the summer of 2021.
Right. They're not concerned about next year's free agency. 2021 is the target date. So at that point, the Felicio contract would be off the books, as would the Otto Porter commitment, assuming he opts into the final year of his contract, which we're all assuming that he's going to do. The one other interesting bit of NBA news that happened on Monday, this is fantastic. Tim Duncan is going to be an assistant coach for the San Antonio Spurs. It seemed like he couldn't wait to get away from basketball because, you know, he played almost 20 years, the grind of it. He wasn't always comfortable talking to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to be an assistant coach. And I mentioned on Twitter, they should let him do the between quarter interviews instead of Pop. That'll make it a lot easier on all those courtside reporters.
Yeah, it would be. But listen, I think that Tim Duncan is being groomed to be the head coach
really?
When Pop retires. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a Spurs lifer. He'll be around that organization forever. You know, Pop has been doing this for a number of years now, five-time champion. And, you know, what better way to leave it in the hands of the greatest Spur ever, you know, when you leave? That's why I think that it's going to happen.
This was a little surprising. It came out of nowhere. I don't know if many people knew Duncan had even aspirations to be an assistant coach. If we look back at the last 15 years, how many true superstar players have gone into coaching?
It's not many.
Not many.
Yeah, I mean, Larry Bird and Isaiah did. That's a little bit longer back. You know, Magic did it way back in the day. But normally, superstars aren't that interested in coaching because they know how difficult it is. Yeah.
They'll do the broadcast route.
Sure.
They'll join, you know, Kenny and Shaq and the guys,
and Charles,
or NBA TV, but they don't
coaching's
do that.
Coaching's tough grind.
I love the quote from Popovich on Duncan.
Yeah.
It's only fitting that after I served loyally for 19 years as Tim Duncan's assistant, that he returns the favor. That's Pop.
That is a great coach.
People see the surly, gruff Pop, but he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And people say, you know, you get him out for dinner or have a couple glasses of wine, he'll tell you stories all day.
Yeah,
It's just that as an assistant coach, there's a lot of responsibilities. You got to go out there at 4 o'clock and warm up the background players and all that. I mean, there are a lot of thankless jobs that are involved with that.
There is. Then, you know, Tim Duncan as a superstar, you know, he'll probably try and give some wisdom to a young player, and if the young player doesn't take it, that's what really screws up your ego. He's like, hold on, wait a minute, I'm the greatest power forward of all time.
Yeah, when Jakob Poeltl blows him off, then you got a problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where he's going to have difficulty.
I don't think people truly appreciate the amount of hours that assistant coaches and head coaches put in.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they are putting in 15, 16-hour days routinely.
Yeah. And it's a 365-day-a-year job. you know, because as soon as the season ends, you go right into summer league. And right. The summer league is over, you go into when the, you go into the, well, as soon as the season's over, you go to the draft, you're working out players, then you go into summer league, then you're working out free agents, and it's constant. That's why I never wanted to be an assistant
coach. 2 weeks in August you get off. And that's
2 weeks
about
in August, about it, yeah. That's it, you know, because if you have a family, it makes it very hard on your family as an assistant coach, because really you're always gone. The team becomes your family.
And with Duncan, I mean, we joked about it, but he's got so much cred with what he's done. I mean, I would think that he would work with any big on the team and instantly make him better.
Yeah, I mean, he would. I mean, you know, especially how fundamentally sound he was. Yeah. Now, here's the problem. The current players are going to be jealous because Tim Duncan is going to be sought out for more autographs than them.
And that'll be like that for the next 10 years,
oh,
probably.
Oh, yeah, it will be. It will be.
It'd be funny to see every San Antonio player trying to bank shots in now. You'd be teaching that little 15-foot bank shot on the wall.
Telling Aldridge, bank every time.
Yeah.
And Justin Holliday will not be coming back to the Bulls. He signed out
almost
with the Indiana Pacers. So it won't be Act 3, at least not yet.
We thought it was. But, I mean, it's good for Justin. He's, I mean, Justin is, you know, played his dues in this league. He's been on a couple teams now, and you know his skill set is wanted. I mean, he always ends up on a team every fall. You can count on Justin Holliday being there.
And I honestly think the Bulls, if it would have worked out, would have liked him back.
Yeah,
it would have been a Chris Dunn sign and trade, but then they were able to get Tyus Jones after the Timberwolves did not match an offer sheet, so they didn't need that extra point guard. And the other transaction, the Bucks signed Giannis's older brother, Thanasis, but they didn't get his younger brother, who was claimed by the Lakers on waivers. So Milwaukee was going for the triple on Antetokounmpo to make sure Giannis stays.
Try to keep him happy, right?
Whatever Giannis wants, listen, Giannis gets.
That's a great move. And if the MVP wants it, you said it, you got to give it to him to keep him happy.
And the Lakers signing his younger brother. I mean, there's something there. Like, I know everybody kind of raised eyebrows. Like, they're playing the long game with that. And they felt like Kawhi played them, which was very interesting to come out in the last few days, that Kawhi feigned his interest in the Lakers. Yeah. But the Lakers are also truly looking at the summer 21 in which Giannis is going to be available.
Yeah, and so are the Knicks after signing their 7 power forwards. They got room for Giannis at the 3.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. Well, it's been fun tracking all the developments in NBA free agency, trades, the draft. It's going to be kind of a dead period for the next few weeks. But, of course, training camp isn't all that far away. We'll have more episodes coming on the Bulls Talk podcast. We're going to talk to our NBA insider, Tom Haberstroh, on our next show. So for Kendall and Kevin Anderson, thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Until next time, enjoy the weather, everyone.